Head behind me. Okay. Well, it's a real privilege and an honor and a pleasure to be here today. And I thank Pastor Terry for asking me to do this. And I told Pastor Terry when he asked me, I said, why? He said, well, I'm going to be in Australia. So I immediately advised him to take a big bottle of aspirin down there, because he's going to be upside down and all the blood is going to go to his head. And of course, you know, I was joking, but it was based on a misconception that if you're upside down anywhere, blood will go to your head. That was based on ignorance, because that doesn't happen in Australia. You know, there are other factors at work there. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because a lot of times we make decisions based on incomplete information, especially spiritual decisions, especially how we should live our lives. And I would like to start by reading from Isaiah, but before I say that, before we go into that, I'd like to say that it's been 12 years since I preached here. This used to be our Spanish church, and we've been there now for 12 years. So it's a pleasure, double pleasure to be here. So shall we stand up, please, and let's read Isaiah chapter 30. And Father Almighty, we thank you for your word, Lord, because your word is life, your word is true. And your word, Lord, is the only way we have to know you, because you have left your word for us as a witness for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your son so that we can have eternal life. And thank you, Lord, that your word is as true today as it was when it was written 5,000 years ago. And it's as useful and as necessary today as it has always been and always will be. We bless you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 30 and verse 8 says, now go, write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lion children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You may sit down. First of all, I don't want people to get mad at me. I asked the Lord what I should talk about, and this is what he gave me. But I think we all fall into that category at one point or another in our lives, or in one degree or another. But God is telling Isaiah here to write down, says, for a witness to us. In this particular version, it says, that it may be for time to come. And others, it says that it may be a witness forever. And the reason why the Lord said that it be a witness forever is because he wants us to learn from it. That's why the Lord wrote his word down, so it wouldn't get diluted, changed, forgotten, misrepresented, etc. And he said, write this down as a witness. So what is he talking about? He's talking about his people, Israel. They were quite happy to be the Lord's people. We are quite happy to be the Lord's people. We are his people because we are redeemed, because we have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, because we are his. And so were and so are the people of Israel. The people of Israel are God's people. The people in the Old Testament were God's people, and they were quite proud to be God's people. They loved to be God's people. They wanted to be God's people. They were excited about having God on their side. But they were not quite so excited about having a God that was, quote, out of control. And if you think that saying that God is out of control is a blasphemy, you are right. It is a blasphemous thought. Trying to put God under us. Trying to make God conform to us. That's a blasphemy. That's a blasphemous thought. But that's what Israel had at that point in time. And they wanted to have God on a leash. So they went to the seers and said, do not see. And they went to the prophets and said, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us what we want to hear. Speak to us in a way that will leave us feeling good. Well, I'm not a prophet, okay? But I hope that I'm not going to leave y'all feeling good today, okay? Because each one of us has areas in his or her life that need to be pushed a little bit sometimes, that need to be pricked a little bit. I'm the first one. When I was writing, when I was studying, when I was reading the Bible the other day, trying to prepare for today, the Lord was convicting me of how easy it is to want to serve the Lord and to say the right things and to do the right things in our own eyes while at the same time ignoring things that God is telling us off to the side, so to speak. We focus on what we want to focus, and we ignore what we want to ignore. That's the way we always work. And it has to be that way for in the real life and the here and now. You cannot see everything, and you cannot concentrate on everything. But we try to do that with God, and instead of concentrating on God, instead of concentrating on the Holy Spirit, and concentrating on Jesus and what he is telling us to do, we concentrate on religion. Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses, and you know what? He was right. I don't like Marx, and I don't like Marxism, but he said a few things that were right, and that's one of them. Religion is the opiate of the masses, because religion, as defined by a Christian, is those things that we put together. It's an edifice that we put together to make us feel good. And if God likes it, great. But if he doesn't like it, we'll have to instruct him. Okay? So a lot of times we live our Christian lives in a religious way. And that is not what God wants from us. He wants more from us. He wants deeper. He wants stronger. He wants wider. He wants us to truly and really belong to him. Now, we are all Christians here, I assume. Or most of us, we are here, have been saved by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we are saved by faith in him. We all agree with that. We agree, therefore, that we all here are children of God. And we really truly in our hearts, we love to obey God's commands and strictures. We want to be good Christians. There's not one of us here, I am positive, there's not one of us here that says willfully, I will be a bad Christian. We all want to be good Christians. We all want to serve the Lord. We all want to love the Lord because he is our Lord. He died for us and we love him. You know, so we will obey him. Or will we? That's a real question. We obey him sort of. I would like to know if there's one person here that has not sinned in the last, not 24 hours, that sounds good. In the last 24 hours, please come and tell us how you do it. Because I confess I have sinned in the last 24 hours. And probably in the last 2 hours. I'm not just sure about that one, but the other one I am sure. Therefore, we are obeying God sort of. We're living a Christian life, sort of. We are willing, in many cases, to submit to God's authority. And we want to live by the law of God as long as the restrictions placed on us do not greatly conflict with our sovereign will. Okay? Because we're a rebellious race. We are. The Lord says in Deuteronomy 9, as soon as I find it, I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 9, it's probably already on the screen behind me. Okay, so you can check me. Chapter 7, here we go again. Deuteronomy, that's in the Old Testament, isn't it? Oh, okay, thanks. No wonder. I knew that. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 7. The Lord says, remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. And if we go further down, say to verse 23, he says, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you did not believe him nor obey his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. That was Moses talking to the people of Israel after having presided over their delivery from slavery in Egypt, 10 plagues, crossed the Red Sea, have been walking around. This is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second telling. That's the book that Moses wrote towards the end of his life. They had already been in the desert for 40 years. They had been fed every day. Their shoes had not worn out. Their clothes had not worn out. They had managed to live, several million people, in the wilderness, in a desert that normally would kill you in 3 days. And they're still rebellious. They're still saying to Moses and to God, why? We don't want to do that. We don't want to do it that way. We want to do it our way. Leave us alone. Well, let me tell you something. You and I are no different from them. We are no better than they are or than they were, and we certainly are no worse. We are the same. We are saved only because of Jesus' grace, because of God's infinite love for us, because of Jesus' infinite love for us on the cross, dying for us. There's nothing in our human nature that makes us worthy or deserving except the fact that God loves us and he chose us. And he said, you are mine and I'm dying for you. Will you take it? I don't know. I'm assuming everybody here has said yes to the Lord. But maybe you haven't. Maybe there's somebody here who really, truly hasn't given the Lord that yes answer. Well, today's a good day to think about it. Today's a good day to, I won't say this is your day to do it. I don't know it. It may be. I hope it is. But certainly it's a day to think about it and to consider, where would you be without Jesus? Where are you without Jesus, if that is the case? But in any case, for the rest of us, it's still true. We have a human nature that is flesh-based, that is rebellious against the Lord, and that is continuously in a state of turmoil. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, and that one is in the New Testament. Galatians 5 and verse 17 talks to us about what's happening inside of us. It says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then it goes on to tell the works of the law. And the works of the law, we all hear the fruit of the Spirit. We all know about the fruit of the Spirit. But a lot of times we don't hear and we do not think too much about the works of the law of the flesh. But I'm going to read them because that will give you a hint of whether or not you are doing like the old Hebrews did, telling the prophets not to prophesy and the seers not to see. I don't know how much of this you see in your life, but if you see just one little bit of it, That means there's something that needs to be corrected. It's something that needs to be brought before the Lord. And it's not religious. It's not a matter of coming to church on Sunday or coming to church on Wednesday. By the way, I'm glad that y'all are starting again with Wednesday night services. It's important to recharge your batteries in the middle of the week. If you're not in the habit of coming to church on Wednesday night, get in the habit, because it will bless you. It will bless your children. It will bless your grandchildren. It will bless your life. But let's go back to the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, most of us probably are okay with the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, probably hatred. I'm saying that. Maybe not. Because we have to remember what the Lord Jesus said about adultery. You don't have to actually do it physically. All you have to do is hear. Okay? And only you know what you watch on TV. Only you know what you watch on the internet. Only you know what you think and where your mind roams to. So, who am I to say? But I'm saying just don't define adultery as the physical act. And that way, all of a sudden, we say, whoops, well, maybe I'm there. Maybe not. But maybe so. But then we get into other things like hatred, contentions, jealousies, wrath, selfish ambitions. You know, selfish ambitions in our culture are actually lifted up. You're a man or you're a woman of great ambition. And if you don't have ambition, people will say things to you. Maybe you've told your children, be ambitious. Well, you know, it's okay to be ambitious. It's not okay to be selfishly ambitious. It's okay to have a goal for your life. It's okay to have plans and to want to do better. It's not okay to do it in a selfish way. So there's a lot of stuff in here that can touch us. And I'll leave it there. You just see what the Lord tells you about it. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, am I in there? Because if you are, that means you have to change something. If I am there, I have to change something in my life. As a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to me about it while I was preparing. And sometimes you feel bad about talking, you know, when talking about these things, because you know you're guilty of what you are preaching about. And I am. So, now don't go try and paint me with too bad a brush. I hope not. But you know, we all fall into this trap of wanting to serve the Lord as long as the Lord is on a leash. As long as He doesn't ask us to do more than we want to do. See, we want to do things for the Lord. But there comes a point where we say, that's enough. Lord, that's enough. Will you ever stop asking me to do more? And that is a dangerous trap. And the Lord had Isaiah write that down. What's that? Isaiah 2,500, 2,600 years ago. He wrote it down, the Lord says, as a witness forever. As a witness to us. We need a witness that says, watch out, because you can think that you are doing real well with the Lord when you're not. We are the iPhone generation. We are the microwave generation. We want everything now. If I want to know anything, I get my iPhone and I find out about it. Maybe I'm having a conversation. It's something I really don't know about it. I just Google it and I can speak with authority. And you know, Google never lies to you. Okay. So we are used to having what we want when we want it. But that's not the way the world really is. By the way, did you know, I just found this out 2 days ago. It made me feel proud and modern and new. I opened one of these little cards, a little booklet that they have at the store with the year of your birth and what was going on in that year. I was born in 1945. I had one day to go in 1945, December 30. In 1945, I felt so modern. In 1945, the microwave oven was patented. Wow, hey. I said, I'm not as old as I thought I was. But anyway, I'm still part of that. Now I want it. Now I want it all generation. Well, God doesn't work out that way. He doesn't work that way. He wants what he wants. And he's the only one who has the right to want what he wants, because he's perfect. Anything God wants is perfectly good. Anything God doesn't want is totally rejectable. We try to negotiate with God. We want our TV shows. We want to decide how I'm going to dress or undress, semi-dress, whatever. We want to decide what language I can use, what words I can use. We want to coddle our prejudices. We all have prejudices. Now, I'm not talking about racial prejudice. That's one of the many. But prejudice means that I have made a judgment beforehand. Okay, prejudge. We accept things without truly examining them because we like them. Or we reject them because we don't like them, period. What? Why? Well, I just don't like it. When the Lord wants us to just like or not like things according to his perfect will. We want to sweet talk God into doing things our way. Okay? I'm going to give you an example. What does Matthew 5:44, if you put it up there. Matthew 5:44 and 45. What does it say? And you tell me if you do it. And we all say, yes, I do it. I try. It's difficult. Well, nobody says it was going to be easy. Matthew 5:44. I don't have 5:44 in mind. I must have gone to the wrong. Let me tell you what it says anyway. Oh, there you have. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Okay, we say, okay, I do that. We all do that, right? Yes? Okay. I mean, we try to do it. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. We do it. How many, go back to 44, yeah. How many do good to them? See, the others are easy. You can say, yes, I forgive them. Lord, I forgive that blankety blank that did this to me. I forgive him, Lord, but if I see him coming down the street, I'm going to change sidewalks. I'm going to cross the street. If I see him or if I know that he's having a hard time, I'm going to say, Lord, bless him, Lord. Good. Good. Okay. But the Lord put in there a little trap for us and said, do good to them. Do good to them. See, that's different. Now, how do you do good to people who have treated you wrong? Sometimes you can't, but sometimes you can and you don't. That's just an example of how we sometimes want to manipulate God's word and say, God, I'm okay with you. I have forgiven him. I love him. Well, you don't, but you think you do. I love him. I bless him. I skip that one, and I pray for him. Okay. And God says, hey, Duilio, I said everything that I said, I mean it. Have you done good to them? But Lord, I would have to talk to him. Well, go talk to him. Isn't that true? Don't we do that? And this is just a very good example. I like to use it because everybody goes along with me. Yeah, I have forgiven him. Yes, I pray for him. Yes, I bless him. And I said, well, have you done good to them? And everybody keeps quiet because that's the difficult part. But we are all still Messiah's children. We are all God's children. We're all Jesus' children. disciples. He still loves us, even with our failures. He doesn't want us to stay that way, though. So we are not allowed, we should not ask the prophets to not prophesy. And we should not allow or ask the seers to not see. We should not try to modify what God has said. Sin has been defeated in my life and in your life. It's a reality. It's a fact. It has happened. That is the truth. Sin is not your master. And anything that you don't do that God tells you to do is a sin. If you don't do good to your enemies, it's a sin. If you... Nowadays, you hear this word. Let me see if I can remember. It's a German word. And you hear it sometimes in commentaries and on the internet about the political things that are going on, all this rigmarole that's going on. I think it's called Schadenfreude or something like that. Somebody knows German can correct me. Okay. I'm sorry? Schadenfreude. Thank you. And that is the joy that you take at seeing your enemies suffer. Is that right? Okay. Okay. Do you? Okay. All right. See how we truly don't obey the Lord? Do we do that? I do that. I confess I've done it more than once. But let me tell you this. We are different. We are called to live on a higher plane. The world may have this standard here. We have this standard here. We are called to be here or higher. We have a standard that brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. We're not called to live just like the world lives. The world, I mean, there's a lot of good people that don't know the Lord. But we are not supposed to live at their standard. If we live at their standard, we are living below our standard. Below the standard of the Lord. We are called to be an example. We are called just like Mark Twain said, we all are examples. Some are good examples and some are bad examples, but we all are examples. And the Lord, if we apply that, the Lord is saying the same thing because he told Isaiah, put these guys as a bad example. Write it down for a witness to all the ages. But for us, we are called to be witnesses to all the ages, but good witnesses. We are supposed to raise up the name of Jesus. We're supposed to bring glory to the name of Jesus through our works, through our words, through our actions, through the way that we see the world, the way that we react to what's going on in the world. We are supposed to be different. And it's difficult. Well, it's not really difficult. It's impossible. You cannot be better than your flesh unless the Spirit guides you, unless you live by the Spirit. The Word of God says, walk in the Spirit and you will not do the works of the flesh. And some translations, they say, walk by the Spirit and don't do the works of the flesh. But the true translation is, if you walk by the Spirit, then you will not do the works of the flesh. Because the Holy Spirit in us will enable us to not do the works of the flesh. Will enable us to be a witness forever, a good witness. Not like the old Jews were, a bad witness. But like we, the children of Jesus Christ, are called to be a good witness. Something that people will look at and say, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like that woman. There's some people, I have 17 of them, at least, maybe 21, if I count my sons and daughters-in-law, that look to me and to Lydia as examples, simply because we are the grandparents and the parents and the in-laws. So, deservedly or not, there's at least 13 kids that are looking at grandpa and at grandma, but nono and nona, as they call us, and they're going to learn things from us, good and bad. I'd like the balance to be more on the good side than on the bad side. I think we all have that. And we are called to be witnesses to our age. We are called to be witnesses not just to our grandchildren and to our children, but to your neighbors and to your coworkers and to other members of the church and to the rest of the family that think you're kind of kooky because you go to that strange church where they all scream and jump and sing and speak in tongues. You're supposed to be witnesses to them. You're supposed to show them. Yeah, you may think I'm strange, but when things get hard, who are you going to go to? When somebody gets sick, who are you going to call for prayer? But you cannot do that if you try to shape God to your desires, to the way that you would like Him to be. And there's a lot of things that the Lord has said that I wish He had said them differently, but He didn't. He didn't. And so we have to make a decision. Am I going to truly walk in His way? Am I going to truly reflect His character? Am I going to be open to the Holy Spirit working in me so that I can do what I personally cannot do? You are called to do something you cannot do. You're not that good, believe me. I'm not that good, believe me. We cannot do it unless the Holy Spirit works in us. But there's a scripture also that says, do not, I know it in Spanish. Can I say it in Spanish? Yeah. No contristéis al Espíritu Santo. Do not sadden the Holy Spirit. Grieve, thank you. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If you don't open yourself to the Holy Spirit, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to flow in you, if you insist on having certain areas in your life where you dictate, if you insist on saying to the seer, do not see, and to the prophet, do not prophesy, the Holy Spirit is not going to guide you. The Holy Spirit is not going to negotiate with you or with me. It's simple. And we all know it here, but when it comes to actually doing the things that we're supposed to do here, a lot of times we want to negotiate with God. And we want to tell God, look, that is fine, but I really can't do it. So how about you cut me a deal? He doesn't cut deals. He cut us the greatest deal, right? He said, give me all your worst, and I'll give you my best. Amen. That really touches me. Not the boss, the Lord. That's the most unequal deal that has ever been made in the history of the universe. We give Him all our despicable, dirty, ugly thoughts, actions, attitudes, and He takes it all and says, it's mine, and now I'm going to give you what's now yours. And He gives us His righteousness, His love, His cleanliness, His purity. It never fails to move me because we don't deserve it. And what's worse, He doesn't deserve to have our stuff. He's perfect. He's pure. He's good. So are we going to negotiate with the Lord or not? Hope nobody says yes. Okay. Okay. Now, our age hasn't shaped up to be very good. The 21st century is not what everybody thought it was going to be. It's turning out to be even worse than the 20th century. I'm going to tell you this. We see our society going down the drain. I see it. I've lived in this country for the last 50 years, and there's no comparison. I was remembering how things were 50 years ago when I first came to New Orleans, and how things are now. And you don't have to go back 50 years. That's what's so sad. You can go back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and you can actually see the decline. You can actually see the destruction of values. We can all think back, except for the little children. The rest of us can think back just a few years and say, wow, how we have slipped. And the reason in many cases is that society has turned its back on God. It's not Obama's fault. It's not Clinton's fault. It's not Bush's fault. It's none of they all are a reflection of us. They get elected because there's enough people that say yes or that say it doesn't matter. And so whoever wins the election in 10 days or whatever it is, whether it's Clinton or whether it's Trump that wins, let me tell you one thing. Things will continue society-wise. I mean, the government and policies may change, whatever. But the decline of society will continue. We are the bulwark against that decline. But we're not going to be effective if we play with God. We're not going to be effective if we tell God how we want to serve Him instead of letting Him tell us how we are supposed to serve Him. We are not going to all of a sudden see the decline in the point of view of society in general about Christianity disappear. All of a sudden, Christianity is going to be back as a model. No, it's not going to happen. We are continuing to see our position in society eroding, and I think it will continue to erode. And that means we will have more and more pressure on us to conform to the world. And that means there will be more and more pressure on us to go back to the Lord and talk to Him and say, hey, would you consider changing this? Because it's making me very unpopular at work. Would you consider changing that? Because my kids are getting really a hard time in school because of this position that they hold, that we hold. I'd like to soften it. Would you consider, Lord, softening your words? He's not even going to answer you. If that's your prayer, He's not going to answer you. He's going to say, go back and read Isaiah 30. See if I soften my position. And the people of Israel went through hard times and through good times. And sometimes they were praising the Lord and walking with the Lord strongly. At other times, they were trying to rewrite the words, the Lord's word to their liking. And the Lord never changed. And the Lord is not going to change for us. His words are not going to change for us. We have to change for Him. Amen? So, we all love to come to church. That's great. We love to praise the Lord, and that's good. And we really feed on the rich words and the rich teachings that Pastor Terry and Pastor Kenny give us. That is great, but that is not enough. Because you're here only a little part of your week. So let me ask you this. Are you exercising your spiritual man or your spiritual woman at home? Are you developing your prayer life? I know we all have prayer life of some sort. Some have this much, some have this much, some have this much. But nobody has the maximum that they could have. So are you exercising? Are you developing your prayer life? Are you bound by a higher standard than your friends, than your co-workers? Are you different? We need to be different. If you're like the world, you're lost like the world. And the more we try to blend in with the world, the more we step away from the Lord. There is no middle ground. The Lord said, either you gather with me or you are spilling the seed. You're throwing it away. There is no point where you're just observing. You're participating. And you participate either gathering or throwing away. So are you gathering? Are you doing the work of the Lord? Is your life superior? Spiritually, we are called to be superior. We are. That doesn't mean that you're better than the other person. That means you're walking better than the other person. We are called to be superior spiritually. Don't let anybody tell you that we all are the same. We are not all the same. We are either children of light or we are children of darkness. What are you? You cannot be half and half. That works for coffee, but not for life. So do you sacrifice having what other people have so that you instead can have what Jesus gives you? That, what does that involve? Entertainment? Movies? Your use of the internet? Facebook? How many here are stuck on Facebook? You can lift your hand if you dare. You don't have to. Okay. But how many of you live on Facebook? Let me tell you something. I know it's not popular. It's not and I'm 20th century all the way. But I think Facebook is terrible. Facebook allows you to know things you don't need to know about people you don't know and people you'll never know. And you pollute your mind and your soul and your heart and your spirit with the things that are going on in the lives of people that you'll never meet and that you cannot affect positively in any way. Facebook allows you to fight with your in-laws over things that are absolutely useless and of no importance. Yes? Sometimes even with your children. So, are you willing to deny yourself certain things that the rest of the world sees as perfectly okay so that you are different, so that you can really and truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus made it very clear. His last, am I running over on time? How is this going? Ooh, it's 12:30. Is it time to go yet? No, it's not 12:30. It's 11:18, but I'm going to finish. Let's go to John chapter 15. I saw a lot of people going, ooh.
Yeah,
okay, chapter 15 and verse 14. And John says, well, this is Jesus speaking. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you and to us. They're all in this book. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Okay, we are different from the world. The Lord says we are different. We need to be different. Being different means you will not be popular. Being different means you will be regarded as weird. Being different means your children in school will be regarded as weird, and that hurts. That hurts you as a parent. And it hurts them as children. However, there is no way around that. Because we cannot negotiate with God.
Amen.
He already did all the negotiating on the cross.
Amen.
You're mine or you're not mine. So, with that, I just want to stop. We are here to buck the culture. We are here as witnesses of the Lord. We are here as a remnant. We have a function, a very important function. You know, when our civilization finally collapses, if the Lord doesn't come back just now, but if he doesn't come back in the next 10 years, minutes, hours, whatever, if he comes back in 5,000 years, do you think that our civilization will still be there? Our civilization is falling apart. It's already falling apart. And if we look back, all civilizations that came before us came to a point like we are at now, and they did not know what to do, and they collapsed.
Right.
But let me tell you one thing. Through all these collapses of civilizations, since the time of Jesus, the witness of the Christian people has remained. And our witness has to remain for the future generations, for our children. What profits man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Let's stand up and let's pray. I want to pray for courage for us as Christians, for vision, and for a sense of mission to change ourselves, our children, and our world, to be pure, to be different, to be separate. So let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you first of all for your love for us. Lord, your word says, and we know, and we believe, and we accept that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, so that he could die on the cross for our sins and that we could have eternal life in you. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we confess that we are not all we should do, we should be. We don't do all we should do. Lord, that many times we waver between righteousness and unrighteousness. Lord, that continuous fight between the flesh and the Spirit. Sometimes we lose the fight. But Father Almighty, we ask you to make us witnesses for you. Make us right witnesses. Make us good witnesses. Make us, Lord, straight as an arrow, Lord. Make us, Lord, live by your word and according to your word. Lord, we ask you that your Holy Spirit will enable us daily, minute by minute, to live that life that we cannot live on our own. A life of love, a life of purity, a life of difference, a life committed to you. Father, we ask you for blessings upon each one of us, Lord. We lift up to you, Lord, holy hands, asking you, Lord, to wash us anew, daily, in this minute, right now, Lord, in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we confess before you that so many times we have compromised our walk with you because of fear, because of lusts, because of pressure, because of so many different things. But Lord, we ask you now, cleanse us once again, strengthen us, Lord, and turn us each day more and more into the living image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask you this in his holy name. And we bless your name, Lord. And we all say amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Amen.